Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we've got a great show headed your way, so get comfortable. We have the amazing golf instructor Randy Smith joining us. He, of course, goes way back with all kinds of golfers in the Dallas area predominantly, but all over the country, actually. And we'll talk to him and specifically about his latest greatest pupil. That would be Scottie Scheffler, one of the heroes of this year's Ryder Cup that was completed at Whistling Straits last week. So Randy is standing by. We'll talk to him very shortly. In the meantime, Frank Bassett is on overload because he's been traveling again. And Frank normally travels quite a bit, and we go around to different tour events. But COVID's changed a lot of things. Didn't change his Myrtle Beach commitment that he had to play in the tournament that he plays in there every year. And so he'll fill us in on that one. Frank, how you doing today? Are you awake yet?
Hello? Oh, Tim, hey.
Hello?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Got in late last night. Actually, the event at Myrtle Beach was not the tournament. The tournament will be the 1st of December in South Carolina.
Okay.
But this was a special invitation we had from our friends at Buffalo Communications, Buffalo Group, I should say, and Morning Read, which in Sports Illustrated, which we are, of course, distributed on. And Claude Pardue, who owns Mystical Golf, invited us over, a couple of us, to play for a few days on his courses, and just had a blast. What the man is the consummate Mr. Hospitality. He took us to some of the coolest places, and of course we were up every morning playing a lot of golf, and his golf courses are fabulous. We'll have a whole show about South Carolina coming up next week. It'll be a lot of fun, but I'm back.
Nice.
Made it intact, and the driver head is still in place, so they didn't drop my clubs.
Well, maybe we need to go to South Carolina like we went to Pinehurst back in the summer for a week's worth of shows. Maybe we need to battle Carolinas, if you will. A little South Carolina against North Carolina.
Yeah.
We should be going back, shouldn't we? We're looking to go back to
North
Carolina.
Yeah, we are. In fact, I've received an email from our good friend G-Money, Greg Austin.
Yeah.
And he said, what's up? What's happening? Let's visit. So looks like they're going to get us back over there to Pinehurst again, too. So we'll be on the road a little bit. Actually, on the road more now to the end of the year than we have been this whole year, which is just crazy. So
it's kind of what it is. But, hey, as I said, we're going to have the open there. We're going to have Randy join us here in a minute. But just your thoughts on we talked, but just for the audience, our global audience, your thoughts on what happened at Whistling Straits.
In the words of the great Dustin Johnson, when asked if he could hang with the boys all night and party, hell, yes. mean, yeah, man. Wow. What an exciting Ryder Cup. It was fun. I mean, I was glued to the entire thing.
Now, we know we had our predictions. You and I and Art Sellinger were on last week before the Ryder Cup started, actually Thursday before it started. And Art and I had similar predictions of U.S. winning by like 3 points.
One point, boys. I still have those notes right here. And you had 2 points, I think. Art had 1 point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he have 1 point different? Well, either way, you had the Darth Vader European team winning.
You called Frank. Me. You sent me a text right in the middle of it and called me a communist.
I don't. How did you do that?
I have no idea.
But you're glad to be wrong, weren't you?
To be wrong, and as wrong as I was, and I can't wait to talk to our first guest, because Berger going out and last in the singles, and a lot of jabber going on amongst the media. Yeah. Guys, the Golf Writers Association of America members, which we are, but about what are they doing? That's crazy. I said, no, I think that's a pretty smart move. I think he set this up pretty cool. Berger didn't get the winning point, but he got the record point, and I loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, a lot of drama there. And as you said, our guest was in the middle of a lot of it. Randy Smith, golf instructor for years and years. Head golf professional, director of golf at Royal Oaks Country Club here in Dallas, now director of golf emeritus at Royal Oaks, and he joins us now from somewhere, I'm guessing, back here in Dallas. Randy, how you doing? Good morning to you, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome, and it's good to be with you.
Are you back here in Dallas, or did you have to go somewhere from Whistling Straits? I assume you came back to Texas.
I came straight back home as fast as that plane would fly.
We talked about Scotty Scheffler and that you've been working with Scotty lately and since he was a kid and obviously doing wonderful things. So let's start with that. Scheffler, a pick by Steve Stricker to be on the Ryder Cup team. Not a total surprise, certainly, but some people were like, okay, would it be him? Would it be Kisner? Some other guys that might have been in the mix. So he makes the team. What were your expectations being a rookie? And there were a number of rookies on this year's team for the U.S. What were your expectations of Scotty going to his first Ryder Cup?
Well, I didn't think, you know, it was one of those situations where he'd be intimidated at all. I had great expectations, especially when I looked at how they had the golf course set up and what was in. I'd been there before for a PGA, and I knew it was a beast. And then I got thinking, you know, this is the type of golf course that, you know, Scotty plays better than any of them. It's like the tougher the conditions, the bigger the ballpark, the better he plays. And he proved that out to be pretty true.
Yeah, Scotty
talked about
Scotty the Giant Killer, if you will. I mean, good yeah. Gracious, what a performance. He was incredible. Randy, in doing a little reading about the way you approach things, I was very interested to see that you had another young player, not to jump away from Scotty, but you have a great eye for talent, I guess is where I'm going with this, for young talent and to nurture that talent into professional greatness.
Well, I'm in the right place at the right time and get very fortunate with what comes along, and then maybe have enough common sense and try not to screw it up before it becomes something very special. So I look at it that way. I've been very fortunate with the people that, you know, that I've been around. The juniors that have come up at Royal Oaks Country Club have been absolutely amazing talents, and the pipeline's still open out there. There's some good ones coming up right now, so it's a lot of fun to watch.
Randy, I'm curious, when we're talking about Scotty Scheffler, Justin Leonard, another great pupil of yours that you helped and led to major victories and Ryder Cups and everything else. And of course, the great Tim Matthews you worked with in his chipping game in the previous years. Those three, I think, probably stand out the most to me.
For totally different reasons, Tim, I'm sure.
that Randy has worked with. But you're right. You have gone through a lot of different guys, and a lot of them have come through, including even though Cameron McCormick is more associated with Jordan, there are so many good junior golfers coming out of Dallas, and all of them might have different coaches, if you will, but at some point you've kind of touched, and I think it's a very close-knit fraternity of instructors here in Dallas, you've kind of touched with a lot of those different guys. You've certainly been around Spieth for a long, long time while he was playing, and Will Zalatoris now coming up too, but you know, and again, going back to Scott Verplanck's and on, the guys that you've worked with and been around, why is Dallas so good? Does it start with Hogan and Nelson, or even before that? Why is Dallas so good with the junior golf programs?
Well, number one, it's in Texas. And Texas golf tradition is, you know, nobody else has got a tradition in golf, I think, like the state of Texas has. Goes back until, you know, back to the feathery, really. Some great players have come up in Texas. But I think a lot of it, and most all of it is that the players are there, but they're nurtured by the NTPGA Junior Golf Foundation. I mean, the biggest junior tour in the country, more scholarships given out, people in Texas, especially the Dallas area, care about junior golf. They promote junior golf. They get into junior golf. There's so many tournaments and so many great instructors that, like you've already mentioned, that, you know, Cameron and Jordan, good Lord, they've been together forever. Jordan was an NTPGA junior coming up. So was Will Zalatoris. And, you know, Scotty, Justin, my gosh, you can go through a list of all these kids that have played inside the NTPGA junior golf deal. And I think that nurtures them from the standpoint of not only becoming a bona fide stud player, but also as a kid that understands the game. They mature a little bit quicker. You can see the number of kids that have gone on to college scholarships. And it's just, I think it's the nature of this area and what the NTPGA does.
And the NTPGA meaning the North Texas PGA?
Yes, the right. Northern Texas PGA. We have a foundation, the Junior Golf Foundation here at second to none.
Yeah, they've done a phenomenal job there throughout the year. So let's go back to Whistling Straits. Again, you're working with Scotty, but you're around all those guys for different events and different things leading up to it. Give us a little bit of insight into it. Ended up being a blowout, if you will. Nobody knew that, certainly going in, and with the history of what Europe's done, especially when they were supposed to get blown out and they didn't and flipped the card on the U.S. Give us a little bit of insight. What was your feeling? Was there a looseness, a confidence? Was it tense? Was it intense? What was the feeling being around DeChambeau and all the different guys, and Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, all those guys, for the few days leading up to the actual start of the tournament on Friday?
Well, I think the term loose was probably the operative term. They were loose. They were very, very comfortable. They got along so well. Not only the players getting along, you know, the caddies, obviously, everybody knew each other. Heck, the instructor, you know, I ate with Peyton, talked and carried on court with, you know, four or five of the other instructors that I've known for a long time. But it was really cool to be around for a week kind of together. And it was just a very relaxed atmosphere, but at the same time, very focused. I think Paris really stuck with, you know, I think what was there, 3 to 4 players on the Paris team. And those guys brought it with them to Whistling Straits. They were not walking out of there losing. And that was very obvious from the first set of matches that went out. It was all business on that course, but they had a great time.
Yeah, it was just a hell of a performance by our young American team. Randy, the young men on that team, it was a young team, and there were a lot of rookies. Do you think that maybe this was a stake in the ground for what the future of the American Ryder Cup team is going to look like?
Well, I really don't think it's a stake in the ground. It is a stake in the ground. You know, the youth movement, you know, we give it all the credit to a lot of the credit to the youth movement. I think the average age of that team was a little over 26 years old, something like that. But I think it is more the veteran players that looked at those guys and said, hey, look, but those veterans aren't very old. You know, Dustin Johnson's the oldest guy on the team. And he look around and he say, hey, bro, and I think those younger players, the 24-year-old and a couple of 25-year-olds, they looked up at leaders like Dustin and how he was into it. And I think it meant a lot to them. So it was kind of fun, especially when you put a youngster out early in any young players out early in any of the matches and see them go to work real quick. The rest of the team would look at that and it kind of drug them along too. So that youth movement's going to be here because that pipeline is open on the PGA Tour for younger players coming out. And there's also with what's coming out of college today, that pipeline's going back to college all the way school and back to the NTPGAs of the country and junior golf. I think it's going to be there for a long time.
We're talking with Randy Smith, golf instructor extraordinaire and golf instructor emeritus at Royal Oak Country Club in Dallas, and Scotty Scheffler's current coach. So I've been working with a lot of these different guys. And mentioning, again, Texas golf, Randy, and which you've been around for decades and decades. But it can't hurt, I don't think, that Scheffler and Jordan have played against each other, play with each other at Royal Oaks and at Merido and Dallas National, all the different courses. Will Zalatoris gets in some of the games when the other guys are in town. There seems to be a real closeness to a lot of these guys that I think to what you're speaking didn't seem to be there in the past. And you're around with Justin and different guys in different Ryder Cups. Obviously at Brookline, what happened was exceptional, but there's been a big drought. Do you see a obvious change in some of the, maybe the way the guys get along, maybe the friendships, maybe they go off on vacations with each other, as we've seen Justin Thomas and Jordan, those guys kind of hanging with each other off the golf course as well. Xander Schauffele, is that different than it was 20 years ago or 25 years ago when we were kind of starting that drought and the Europeans were beating us? Were they closer knit than what you see now from, and more similar to what you see in the U.S. team now?
I think there are a little bit. I don't think it's as much as people make it out to be, because I know you know, back in the day, Justin Davis Love, very close. Their families were close, you know, Fur Planks and the Davis Loves. And everybody was close back then. But I think the one thing that's got to really people need to look at is the this team concept is not the way golf is played, in my opinion. I mean, heck, we play as individuals to succeed. But the team concept that these guys are coming out of college, they've gone to college and played as a member of a team. And that team is a tight-knit team in college. They get used to 2, 3, 4, some cases 5 years playing college golf as a team, pulling for each other, getting on the golf course. Let's go beat X team. We've got to win this. That type of atmosphere. Now, these guys, that's been really getting stronger and stronger over the past 10 years. I think now we're starting to see it. As it comes to team competitions with professionals that are removed from college, some in some cases 1 year out of college, like Victor Hovland, and really, Scotty, a year and a half out of college. Okay? They're bringing that attitude of teamwork and team play into the team tournaments, Ryder Cup, and also watch what's going to happen in the President's Cup. I think that has as much to do with it as the relationships that are made.
You know, Randy, do you think that Europe is going to take a page out of this playbook and reevaluate their team pretty quickly?
I think they're reevaluating, yes. But you got to understand, they've won 3 out of 9. This is just one tournament. We can't, you know, this side cannot sit there and rely on, oh, boy, we got this just because of who we are.
Yeah.
Got to nurture it and keep nurturing it to be competitive every single year you go to it. And I think Paris really stimulated this side. But with what we've got going on over here in the feeder right out of college to young players on the tour, that's going to be hard to beat. And a good example of that is Victor Hovland for the European team was an All-American stud muffin at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Those European players, they're playing in Europe, and they're playing the secondary tour. They're working up through it. They're coming out of high school over in Europe. Guess where they're coming? They're coming straight to the United States playing collegiate golf over here. Now, they're going right back over and feeding that Ryder Cup team for Europe coming out of the programs that we have here. It's just that we've got to have as many good players or better players coming out of the States as they do coming out of Europe.
Hey, Randy, I want to mention, and Frank, just so you know, there was a game within the game during the Ryder Cup that some people may not have been aware of, especially if you weren't in Texas during it. But on Saturday, and Randy, Frank's a big Ole Miss guy.
Oh, yeah.
He loves his SEC football. Well, Randy went to Texas Tech. Frank, and Cameron McCormick went to Texas Tech, and Jordan Spieth and Scotty Scheffler went to Texas. Guess who played each other in football on Saturday? Texas against Texas Tech. So, Randy, while you're watching and caring about what Scotty Scheffler's doing, were you and Cameron also totally on board? Because from what I hear, there were a few bets being made by both sides. It ended up being a little bit of a blowout. It was 70-35, I hate to tell you, Randy. Texas the winner in that one. But were you a little bit split in what you were paying attention to on Saturday?
I'll give you a little bit of that. I don't know how Cameron was reacting to it or any of that, but I know how I was reacting to it. The man sitting there warming up on the putting green before he goes out in his match, I'm looking at his second quarter score on my phone. And it was like 45. And I'm talking, here's Scotty putting, and I'm going expletive, and he kind of looks up, just thinks to go in the tunnel and go out and play.
Yeah,
I said, well, they got the second quarter, and he says, what's it now? Mm-hmm. I had a fairly sizable wager with him and 9 points. And he just laughed. He thought that was so fun. Oh, that was great. And then wanted to know what the score was. He finished, and I don't want to talk about it.
So, well, you know, paying attention to both at once.
I will tell you that my Ole Miss Rebels were not defeated this past Saturday. Open date 0, Ole Miss 0. So at least we weren't defeated.
Don't they have Alabama or whatever coming up?
Well, Randy, sorry, we got to go now. Thanks for bringing that up for me on a Thursday, so I'll just start being depressed right now. Yeah, we do. We're number 12 in the nation. Alabama is number one.
Somewhere ahead of that.
And we're playing in
Tuscaloosa. Somewhere.
We're playing in Tuscaloosa. We're playing in Tuscaloosa. Come on.
Oh, I don't. Well, I will say this: Ole Miss has got like a Heisman caliber quarterback.
Corral is awesome. Name right now. He's Corral.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So,
but we don't have a defense that can handle that Alabama offense. I'm just afraid of that. So, anyway, I didn't mean to get off on Ole Miss. I always do. Okay. I love my school.
That's okay.
We've been in some of those routes like that. But we've scored a lot of points, guys, on a lot of teams. Tulane gave Oklahoma all they could handle, and we turned around and just trounced them, ran up 60 on them. So
it's always something good about that. Hey, Randy, before we let you go, the future for Ryder Cup and Young Golfers looks pretty bright. Certainly, Scotty's come on. I saw this, Frank. I don't know if you're even aware of this, but there's a lot of coverage here in Dallas with both Scotty and Jordan all the time. Scotty was somewhat struggling, right, to be on the tour even a couple of years ago. In those couple of years, he's made like $7.5 million and just skyrocketed through the rankings. So Randy, my question is, while you can work with him on grip and stance and all the different technical things that he's has to do to work on his game, the confidence is something that has to be built and has to be developed and figured out. His confidence has to be sky high right now, doesn't it, Scotty Scheffler's?
Absolutely. It you know, the confidence is such a wonderful thing, because you know, confidence means I have done something really good before and I bet I can do it again. You know, and it, that type of attitude. Scotty has won at every level, junior, college, collegiate, Corn Ferry. And the only thing he hasn't done in a year and a half or so on the tour is win a tournament. And that's something it's huge on his mind. But I'm going to tell you what, he is knocking at the door in almost every event. And the bigger the event, the harder he knocks. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he knocks the door down here in the very, very near future. Like you said, this didn't hurt his confidence one bit. But the thing about it is, I think he learned that on the biggest stage that he's basically ever played, that he held up the way he held up and the way he felt on the golf course is something that it just speaks volumes to how much better he's going to play in the future.
Randy, before we let you go and congratulations on your student Scotty and what he's done. He's really an incredible young man, and I've not met him as many tournaments as I've been to over the years. I've just not, because of COVID, I haven't been out there as much. So I'm looking forward to meeting him and hopefully having him on our show too. But I've got to ask you this question. Don't know if it's appropriate to ask or not, but I'm going to throw it out there, and if you don't want to, it won't hurt my feelings. But what in the heck do you think is going on with Rory McIlroy?
Well, you know, I'll throw something out. I think probably one of the greatest talents that's ever come along in golf, and maybe his expectations and pressures that he has internally put on himself may have kind of corrupted the way he's been playing the game, going and searching a bit for a little bit different this, a little bit different that, instead of playing with the instincts that Rory played with when he was a teenager, as he came out and started playing professional golf. I think he's got to get back to his instincts. And when he gets back to his instincts and gets away for a little bit from the perfections that we all search for as, you know, as players, a lot of times instincts will beat the heck out of technique, and he needs to get back to his instincts.
Well, that's a great answer. One more, Tim, before we let Randy go. It's great. Number one, it's great to have you on. I've not met you in all these years, and can't wait to sit down with you and have a beverage and talk about Tim Matthews' wedges.
Oh, but yeah,
sure. Had to throw that in, Tim. Sorry. But so what was the electricity like when DeChambeau drove the first hole in the singles match and then drained that eagle?
Well, I mean, I was a hole ahead of him, and so I really didn't get to experience that. But I watched him play the four balls, and you know, for 2 days, and he hit some drives like that on other holes. And the electricity is definitely there because people love to see it. They really do get fired up when he's hitting that driver. And I think it had to be off the charts. It had to be really, really neat to watch. But I think to Bryson's credit, you know, sure, he hit the ball that distance. And he probably didn't hit it full, to be honest with you. And then he made the putt for eagle. And that's when it got electric, because he paid off the long drive.
Yeah, it was something else. And it was funny. I don't know, you probably didn't catch this unless you've seen some of the replays. But I can't remember the hole, Tim and Randy, but DeChambeau went to his bag and pulled out a driver, then put it back and pulled out a 3-wood, and the crowd booed. And he said, "Hey, guys, I'm still going for the green. Just calm down."
I think that was like number 7 or something. It was a drivable par 4. Yeah, and he pulled out 3-wood, and it was like, because it was playing only like 360 or 350.
Yeah.
And he put his driver back, and they were like booing him. Yeah, I can still get there with a 3-wood. Don't worry about it. So everybody cheered again after he did it. So I meant to say that to Randy, too. We talked earlier about DeChambeau. To just keep people updated, he's now advanced to the second round, went right from Whistling Straits to Mesquite, Nevada for the World Long Drive Championships. Now he's in the second round, hit a 412-yard drive in the first round. I don't think the wind was in their favor, so it was in the high 300s. The whole point of that is, as you said, you've got to have the complete game. There have been long drivers who just crushed the ball. Can they putt, chip? Usually not. In Bryson's case, he went the reverse of it. He didn't start with a long drive. He developed long drive after having a great game and All-American career at SMU. When you've got guys coming to you now that want to learn or want to learn, have their kids be taught by you, is driving the ball a mile now kind of a prerequisite that you have to teach that, teach the faster swings and do what Bryson's done and other guys have done to even start the game with these young guys, as opposed to where you were 30 years ago trying to teach?
It's definitely different. A lot of that has to do with the ball. Has to do with the equipment, the head of the driver, the shafts. You have all kinds of changes in equipment that's allowing you to do that with the driver. Yes, things have changed over the years. There used to be one swing in golf, in my opinion, and that was the swing you used on all clubs. There's now two swings in golf. There's, you know, you got 12 clubs in your bag that play one way and swing one way. And then there's the driver that can be swung totally a different way. A lot of times, the faster you're swinging a driver, the straighter the ball's going to go. And now that that's really becoming evident, yes, I definitely, this has been over the last 10, 12 years, I want the younger kids, show me how hard you can hit the driver. But here's the prerequisite. You've got to be able to maintain some semblance of balance at the end of the golf swing. You can swing as hard as you feel like you can swing, but I don't care how fast and hard your body is swinging. I'm going to see how fast and hard you can swing the club face. You know, if you can swing the club face and focus on the club face and be able to support it and decelerate the action at the end of the swing, we're going to let you hit that driver as hard as you can. But if you can't do it, we got to back it down to a point where you can't. And I think that's, it's a must. And the little kids that are coming out and look at the bigger kids that may be their same age, they feel like they can't hit the ball far enough. The guys are hitting it so much further than me. How can I compete? Well, you haven't grown up yet, bud. And while you're down there being small, you develop your short game, wedge game, bunker game, and putting game, while these other kids are focused a little bit too much on hitting it for distance. When you hit your growth spurt and your speed comes up and your distance jumps, what are you going to bring with it, little one? You're going to bring that short game.
That's true.
Yeah, have something special.
That is so true. I have multiple putters that have lived in timeout for years. So, yeah. And it's not their fault.
I like to think that it was, but
exactly.
Well, Randy, thanks so much for your insight, for your wisdom and everything, your humor, all the other things. And we continue. We'll talk to you again soon, because Scotty's, I think, obviously trajecting sky high, and I'm sure he'll be in the headlines and be winning championships and competing for majors for a long, long time. And again, we'd love to have you back on the show to offer some more wisdom and witticism. West Texas style, Pods, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks, buddy. Enjoyed it very much.
Take care, Randy.
You too.
Randy Smith, if you ever talk to him, Frank, one-on-one, when you do meet him, Pods is who he calls everybody. Pods.
Pards? Well, that's a Texas slang.
P-A-R-D-S.
Yeah, Pards.
West Texas. Yeah. Short for partner.
Yep.
But somehow there's a D in there when you say it like West Texan, pods. Hey, pods.
Well, that's a lot like mate. That's a lot like mate, like the Aussies say mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, great guy. But yeah, that's interesting. And we will, we're going to take a break and come back, but we'll talk a little bit more about Bryson, give you a little bit more update on him too. That, to me, is a fascinating story, not only because of what he did and what the team did at Ryder Cup, but that you can turn right around, seriously, and go from that competition and doing extremely well to World Long Drive, which is, yes, it's still golf. It's not like he's turned around and started playing in the NBA. But a whole, as Randy said, a whole different world. And I've been around those long drivers forever. Not many of them are great golfers. They can hit the ball a mile, but when you put other clubs in their hand,
yeah.
And here he comes from the other side, that he learned to putt and chip and do all the things and win a U.S. amateur and all the, oh, by the way, let me get bigger and stronger and start hitting the ball 60 yards farther. And that's what he's done. So, yeah, really, really interesting stuff. But before we take a break, don't you have something you want to mention?
I really do, and I believe this. You know, Tim, you and I both, we're out a lot. We're on the golf course a lot. Whether we're playing or commentating or watching or whatever, but we get dehydrated. And I've looked at multiple different drinks, and I can't say the names of them, but to try to stay hydrated on the golf course, and that's better than water, you know, or a little better than water. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's one I found is a product called Liquid IV. It definitely feels like fall and cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration, like overheating or perspiration, which means it's even more important to keep properly hydrated. That's why now's the perfect time to try Liquid IV. Just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone. Liquid IV contains 5 essential vitamins, with more vitamin C than an orange, as much potassium as a banana. It's healthier than... Yeah, it is. It's healthier than sugary sports drinks with no artificial flavors or preservatives, and less sugar than an apple. You know, the apple, the age-old apple.
A lot more sugar in some of those fruits and stuff that people
exactly.
want to eat so much of. A lot of sugar in
exactly.
there that you don't need.
Honestly, it's a great way. You know, I got up this morning and had a Liquid IV. I'm traveling on an airplane and all that. So, you know, first thing I did, started my day with a Liquid IV. It's extra hydration. The body needs before a round of golf, a workout, doing a Golf Talk America show, or when you feel run down. All of the above for Uncle Frank right now. So it's even a great hangover cure, Tim. Okay? And we won't go there. We won't go there. I was a good boy last night. Liquid IV comes in multiple flavors, delicious flavors like lemon, lime, strawberry, and watermelon. So grab your favorite Liquid IV flavor nationwide at Walmart or get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code GOLFTALK at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code GOLFTALK at liquidiv.com. Liquid IV, make your water work harder. And so there you go. And I believe in it. I like it.
I can't wait to try it. All right, we will take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more and give you, as we said, an update on what's going on with Bryson DeChambeau. Just a fascinating story, a continuation of what happened at Whistling Straits. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Are you dealing with thinning hair? Well, I'm here to let you know there's now a holistic solution for men that promotes both healthier hair and whole body wellness without drugs or prescriptions. It's Neil Michaels to introduce you to Nutrafol. Nutrafol is clinically shown to improve hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage while also supporting sex drive, better sleep, and less stress. In a clinical study, men showed progressive improvement in hair growth and thickness after as little as just 3 months. And Nutrafol is recommended by more than 1,500 top doctors. You too can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code GOLFTALK to save $15 off your first month's subscription. That's the best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. There's free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com. Use the promo code GOLFTALK.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. And we just got finished talking with Randy Smith, Scotty Scheffler's golf instructor and golf instructor emeritus at Royal Oaks Country Club in Dallas, where he was the head pro for decades, forever,
100 years.
Like the 60s. Yeah, so it was great talking with Randy. But in talking with Randy, Frank, we brought up Bryson, which is a great component of what happened at the Ryder Cup, and he certainly got all the eyeballs and everything. And as we said, moved right on from Sunday's finish at the Ryder Cup to having to go to Mesquite, Nevada. For people that aren't familiar, that's about an hour outside of Las Vegas. And they built an entire facility there, back when Art Selinger was running Long Drivers of America, an entire facility in Mesquite, Nevada, just for long driving. I mean, it's an incredible place. It's a Mesquite Regional Sports and Event Complex. When they're not long driving, they use it for youth soccer and stuff like that. But otherwise, it is just an enormous field that goes as long as these guys need to drive it. As a matter of fact, when the wind's behind them, Frank, just to give you a perspective, when the wind's coming out of whatever direction that would be from behind, the complex goes to about 450 yards, I believe, as far as then it hits a dirt, as you can imagine, in the outskirts of Nevada. It kind of hits a mountain range, if you will, or hills, and it's just like red clay dirt, cactus. That's at about 460, 470. Well, when the wind's behind them, guys have been known to fly it, not on the fly, but it bounces and the wind's catching it, and they'll hit into that clay. The ball will go 450.
My
it's
God.
Still moving when it goes into the clay. Yeah. So, I mean, and Art would always say, I guarantee you that one was going to be close to 500. 500. Think about how far. I don't care how much
that's
wind.
That's five football fields.
Whatever level of hurricane I'm in behind me, I'm not hitting a ball 500 yards.
Fire.
That's what these guys can. Yeah, that's what these guys can do. They need that buffer literally to stop the ball from going off the planet, I guess. And so that's where Bryson's competing. Now he's in the second. Yesterday, which would be Wednesday, he got through the second round. First day, better wind conditions. He hit it over 400 yards. Yesterday, hit it 350, 355 to win his set, if you will. So, I don't know. I think DeChambeau, and I think he showed some great personality at Ryder Cup.
He did.
I think people are more and more embracing him. Certainly, there's a roughness to him. There's a robotic part about him. I get that. And sometimes he says things. We remember back what he said about at the Detroit tournament, right? About his Cobra clubs and his drivers and all those kinds of things when he pissed off his sponsors and whatnot. But I think
way
he's learning
to go.
From that. He's only 20. Yeah, way to go. He's only 28 years old. I mean, he still is a young
kid,
if you will.
Yeah, young man.
Kind of figuring it out. But, boy, I think that long drive stuff, like Randy was saying, and I say the long drive stuff, just the power game, that goes back years and years. I mean, John Daly caught everybody's attention, and John Daly can't sniff what DeChambeau's doing now, so you can only wonder with these young guys being taught now how this is going to go and the equipment and everything that adds to it. But I'll tell you what, DeChambeau might be the best show on the PGA Tour right now. He might have replaced Tiger, because Tiger's not playing, as the premier guy that people want to go out and see. Would you agree?
Well, I would agree with that, because John Daly was the guy. Even when Tiger was around, tons of people would follow, because John was the everyman. Now, Bryson's not an everyman. He's an every MIT man, but, you know, he's a very, very smart young man. But, I agree 100% with that. He has a following, and it's just going to grow. And because of his personality and showing more of himself, it added so much to his persona to the general public. And the bro hug between he and Brooks Koepka really brought up a lot of questions about, was this all just kind of like Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler, you know, remember that?
Yeah.
Wrestling matches?
Yeah, sure.
Was it kind of a setup kind of deal?
Well, we did find out throughout the course of the year that the PGA Tour is incentivizing guys to get social media attention, right?
To the tune of $40 million pool.
Right, not to one guy, but there's a pool.
Yeah, $10 million to first place.
But it's still worth a lot of millions to these guys. So that's going to play into that to say, okay, let's tweet about each other. So I think they probably. I'll be honest. My gut is they're not the greatest of friends. They're not going to go to each other's weddings and be best man or anything like that. They're not Jordan and Justin Thomas kind of friends that go way back. But I don't think that's nearly the ugliness that we were kind of led to believe. And I got to blame the media for a lot of it, Frank, and I hate saying that. But I really think that
that's true.
In today's day and age, you've got to get headlines. You've got to get whatever. And even the media has to play into the social media part of it, which is, hey, follow us in this newspaper, our magazine, on TV, whatever. Follow our website. Follow our Facebook page. And they're going to put different scandalous things in there, right? That's just part of it. So I think a lot of media drummed this up and kept the spinning going for a lot of this. When those guys were like, you know, it's not that big a deal. We don't all like each other that much. We don't love each other. We don't hang with it, but I don't have any real problems with them. But if you guys want to play that game, sure. Okay. we'll play the game and you guys keep watching tournaments and doing all the things and following us on social media. And I think that's kind of more really what it was. I think DeChambeau's going to be fine. I mean, I think, and Koepka too. I mean, Koepka, I'll be honest, when you watched him at Ryder Cup, I have a hard time sometimes because Koepka doesn't show much emotion. I like the fact that DeChambeau can be cocky. He put his club down, right, to measure his within the grip.
He was a little pissed about not being given that putt. It was one foot.
Yeah, not getting a gimme. So he will show his emotion. He also pumped the crowd up. Whereas Koepka kind of goes through it like,
here.
He even said beforehand, it's kind of messing with my schedule a little bit here, being Ryder Cup. Instead of being enthusiastic, I think Koepka is the one who he and his people have to keep an eye on because it's like he can fall in disfavor with fans pretty quickly.
Well, at the end, though, did you not notice how excited he was? Koepka said, this has been the greatest experience of my life. I love this. So he really did. I think it turned him around. I think the excitement, it took him 3 days, But I think the excitement and the energy turned Koepka around a little bit, maybe brought him back from the dark side, you know?
And maybe that's all part of the other guys. I mean, the Spieth and Justin Thomas, I think, are two mainstays that have enthusiasm, that are excited, that pump the crowd up with their hands and their waves and all that kind of stuff. Those two guys, and they're going to be, they have been and will be on Ryder Cup teams for the next 20 years. I think those guys maybe, and some others around them. Xander Schauffele, from what I read and find out, is a very popular guy. We know he hasn't won a major yet, but he's always in the hunt. A lot of the players like him, and they think he's a funny guy. And if you go back and look when they did a pose down on the ground after they're up on stage, and they all went down on the ground and took like a pose with themselves, and some of them had cigars that they were smoking, Schauffele was right in the front, and you could see he was, I don't know what he said, but you could see he was saying things, and everybody was cracking up, including Justin Thomas. DeChambeau almost fell over. Berger had to grab him because it looked like he was going to fall. He was laughing so hard. I think Xander Schauffele is a guy that is young, exciting, has fun, winning or not winning, loves what he's doing. And I think that kind of thing, not just from him but those other guys, maybe is what got into Koepka a little bit to say, you know what, dude, you can have a good time at this. You can show some excitement. You can have a fun, exciting time and not just be stoic the whole time, which has kind of been in, you know, his personality, at least up till now.
Well, we needed, you know, everybody thought we needed another Tiger. I don't think we do. I think we have exactly what we need right now, which is youth, excitement, fun, interaction with the crowd. And
damn talent.
Damn great talent. But nobody could replace Tiger. You just can't. I mean, you can't replace Nicklaus. You can't replace Palmer. They said, Justin Thomas, of course, doesn't have the personality that Jordan Spieth does. But Jordan Spieth is very Arnold Palmer-ish in his mannerisms. Yeah. If you noticed in the press conference, when things were kind of getting a little off, a question was being asked, and I won't get into all of it, but he didn't really like the way that was going because it was putting that player on the spot, and Jordan just jumped in and cleaned it up with a perfect answer. And just shut it off. And he turned to the crowd a couple of times and said, no, stop booing. Stop harassing these players. And that's very Palmer-esque.
Justin Thomas is very emotional. He's very excited, as we saw. He pumps and everything. He also threw some F-bombs out that were hard to miss. That's who he is, right?
Yes, he did.
I'm sure Jordan has cussed once or twice in his life.
Maybe.
But you don't hear it on the golf course, right? Yeah. He doesn't get into that kind of thing. So they're different, even though they're both excitable. But just like everybody's going to see that the bunker shot at Connecticut. What is that? Travelers.
Oh, you're talking about the Travelers when the chest bump.
When he jumped out and he did the thing with Greller. I mean, that's excitable, right? You don't see – that would never happen from Koepka or Dustin Johnson would never do something like that.
No.
But yet that's – so Jordan's excitable, but he's not to the
– extreme.
I don't want to say vulgar, but he's not to the – Justin Thomas is like an angry guy sometimes, and he will show it. And I mean angry in a good way. Like I'm determined to win, so he grits his teeth. Jordan gets intense, but he's – So they're they are different personalities, and he seems more politically down the middle. Jordan does to make sure that's why the sponsors love him. I mean, who wouldn't love to be in bed with, figuratively saying, with Jordan Spieth? you know, from a sponsor standpoint.
Yeah, he's a sponsor's dream player is what he is.
I think, and Morikawa, I mean, we didn't even mention him, but Morikawa is just phenomenal.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
And all these guys are under 30, you know, Groundless, Scheffler, everything. These guys are all under 30, so it's and we didn't even bring up, I mean, Ricky Fowler not on this team. Matthew Wolf, who's a guy that a lot of people were like, oh, this guy's going to be, and may very well down the road, but he kind of faded a little bit and had a little downswing in the last year. But there's a lot of really good under 30 golfers too that weren't even on this team that want to be part of that, which is going to push them all to be better, to try to get on Presidents and Ryder Cup teams. So, yeah, I think America is set. It's no guarantee, like Randy said. There's no guarantee that it means we win at Whistling Straits. We're just going to walk away with the next 10 Ryder Cups. But I think we're in pretty good shape. I feel pretty good about, if I was PGA of America keeping track of Ryder Cup, I feel pretty good about our talent level and our attitude. You know,
I'd like to see the
guys that want to be part of it.
I'd like to see the ratings, the numbers for the Ryder Cup, the final round, because the singles were really just great. I mean, it was tough.
Even though it wasn't as dramatic, right? Because it didn't mean, I mean, you kind of thought that it was going to take a miracle, which it would, for the Europeans to even make this a close match. But I loved every minute of it. I still liked watching. I mean, Scheffler, I mean, when we were talking with Randy, and I meant to get into that, but you only have so much time with Randy.
Yeah.
It's like he should play Jon Rahm every time. I mean, Rahm had
giant
no
killer
impact.
Scheffler's a giant killer.
Like, Rahm could not be beaten until Scheffler comes around. And remember Sunday when he went
four
up in four holes?
I know. I was like watching it going, oh, my God.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And he beat him at the match play. Remember last year in Austin?
Yeah.
This past spring at the match play in Austin. At Dell match play, he beat him in the semifinals, Rahm.
He's got his number.
So, Scheffler, Scheffler's not it. If you can beat Jon Rahm, because nobody was playing better than that guy.
Oh. I mean,
he was a solo.
Who was carrying the European team, Tim? I mean, for the first 2 days, the points on the board were almost all his.
19-9, he had 5 of their 9.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's unheard of.
So take him on the team. It seriously is 26-3 or something, right?
I mean,
25-3. It was all Rahm, and Garcia played really well too for the older guy.
He did. He did.
I
think that might have been Garcia's last. I'm sure it's Poulter's last. You know what I like is and we're going to get out of here pretty quickly, but the fact that we didn't have to put players on our team that were kind of like the sentimental, you know, well, you know, he's been around a long time and he's
Phil.
You know, yeah, okay, I didn't want to, but still, I just like that.
But still,
Phil was a factor because, you know, he was out there. Now, only the captain can give advice. The assistant captains cannot. So, Phil,
I don't think that's true.
No, you can't say, you know, you got to hit a thing here or hit a 7 here or play it to the right. They're not supposed to do that.
Because they had him on camera.
The assistants?
Phil, hang on. Phil was talking with, and I'm trying to remember who he was around, but let's say it was Scheffler, and there was a dispute about something, and Phil was saying something to him. Then he turned to an official, Ryder Cup official, and said, "Am I allowed to give him advice?" I mean, he said it right there on camera because he was trying to help him, but before he got too far down, he wanted to make sure he could. And the Ryder Cup official said, "Yes, you can."
Maybe I misheard that because I had not heard that before.
Okay, do this or this or this. He was trying to explain to him, I think, maybe where the match in front of him was. I don't think it wasn't a grip thing, but nobody's going to help you with that kind of stuff at that point of the game. It wasn't a technical thing, but I think it was advice as to a par would win this, blah, blah, blah. There was something going on, and Phil was helping the guy. So, but he specifically asked the official if he could give advice to a player, and the official said, yes, you can.
Maybe
so
I misheard that then, because I thought one of the commentators said
that.
But
your point is that Phil wasn't on the team, but he did help, certainly, as all those assistant captains helped.
Well, look at all the assistants on both sides. I mean, you know, they didn't play that up as much as I thought they were probably going to. But look at the talent level, the former Ryder Cuppers and former Ryder Cup and President's Cup captains. And it was, you know, the assistants were pretty cool.
You know, when you think about it, I mean, there aren't too many times when a guy wins a major and isn't on the Ryder Cup, right? I mean, a guy wins a PGA championship.
Yeah.
A Masters, a U.S. Open, but isn't on the Ryder Cup. I mean, normally that's a pretty good year if you can win a major. Now, maybe that was Phil's swan song, right, his only thing.
I also didn't hear anything
from Phil saying, I deserve to be on this Ryder Cup team. I don't care if I'm 50 or not. I don't know that he did. I don't know if he could have put a better team there. Now, Phil wouldn't have hurt him, I'm sure. I mean, he could have played and not gotten any points, but there are other guys that didn't score well for the U.S. team. But I agree with your point to let's not be sentimental about it. Let's not just give it to somebody because, oh, yeah. By the way, you've got a great career, Lee Westwood. Let's put you on the team.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be better served to put a good young European guy, a good young American.
I don't want to see Joe Louis standing at the door of the hotel when I come in Vegas, you know. That's just not my idea of a swan song. Yeah. Anyway, well, it was great. Right. Great having Randy Smith on. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know him much. I mean, I don't know him. You know him. So,
yeah.
Did he help you with your wedges?
Yeah. Oh, he did help me. Yeah, he worked with me a little bit. I mean, I never had lessons. Like, I didn't show up every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for anybody to have lessons. And I don't say that in a good way. I just never did. So he didn't do that kind of stuff. But I would be out on the range, and he'd come over, and I'd ask him questions. And I had him. Justin Leonard came over a few times and was – I remember when I first got a hybrid, way back when TaylorMade was kind of making the first hybrids. I'm trying to think what they called
them. Early 60s. Yeah.
Not too many people had them, right? And it was almost kind of like right at the same time as Barney Adams came out with the Tight Lies.
Yeah.
Remember how the Tight Lies was kind of an early hybrid, kind of a flipped over three wood, blah, 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 all these different things you can do with it. And so I had a club like that. And I remember Justin coming over and he goes, you can't have this in your bag. And I was like, why? And he goes, well, it's embarrassing. It's kind of like having a ball retriever. He was kind of joking with me, but he was acting like, hey, what do you got, this freaking made-up club here to kind of get? And I go, I like that. I can hit it from about 200 or whatever I was saying. Well, at that time, guys were still playing two irons. Probably a couple of guys on the tour had one irons, right? I mean, they didn't have hybrids. They had all their irons. But a hybrid, well, nowadays it's totally changed. Most pros don't have anything below a four iron.
Yeah.
A couple of guys have three irons, but it goes to hybrids right away. So in that realm, Randy would come over and give me a little advice or say things to me and stuff. So, yeah, he would help me. And I've always kind of picked the brain of all the guys that everybody's smarter than I am when it comes to golf. So
I'm
always asking somebody something, you know, to get a little bit. Randy's just – he's just such a good old – everything is almost a Old West yarn that he's got to spin a little bit to tell you about. Well, one time I was playing and the wind was blowing and if you hit it off your back foot and – but he'd say it in such a way to not act like, hey, dumbass, you should know how to do this. You know, like, it would be a
that's
nice
what the boys
grandfatherly way to explain it to you.
That was the way the pros were at Mystical Golf with us this week. They were really, of course, we did a two-man scramble against a pro and one of our other better players that was with us, and we had them down like four. Fred Altvater and myself did. We were playing really good. And they were like, geez, Louise, where are these shots coming from? And one of the pros said, Frank, you know, we were just walking and talking. And he said, Frank, you know what you need to do, I think, is maybe move your hands this way a little bit on the club. And I said, really? Seriously? And Fred walked over and said, he's messing with you. Do not listen to him. Because he wanted us to start doing all sorts of bad things to win.
Oh, yeah.
And he just started cackling, laughing. So anyway, I'm sure our listeners don't want to hear about my trip yet until we get the people from Mystic Golf on. So that being said, you're in charge, boss.
That's it. We're out of here. We're done. We're finished. We appreciate everybody. We appreciate our sponsors. We really do. Club Corp sponsors us, has for a number of years, and we love Club Corp. Frank's a member in his backyard. I'm a member here in Dallas, and we love everything about Club Corp. If you want to find out more, go to clubcorp.com and find out about a course near you that you can hook up with. And when you're a member at one, you get privileges all over the country at all their almost 300 facilities around the country. Clubcorp.com. Also, French Lick. Check out French Lick, Indiana. FrenchLickResort.com for the beautiful facility there in French Lick, Indiana. They love every minute of that as well. Thanks to Randy Smith for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.